This is VOA's International Edition. Coming up, Greece officially in default. Iran nuclear talks extend their deadline. Another U.S. Republican presidential hopeful enters the race for 2016, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
I mean what I say, and I say what I mean, and that's what America needs right now.
Parkour flourishes in one of the world's big trouble spots. And two popular musicians put their heads and voices together for a new song. These stories are more just ahead. I'm Ray Kugel. The Greek bailout crisis remains unresolved, with European finance chiefs saying they would continue to examine Athens' last-minute debt relief proposal today. The Eurozone's 19 finance ministers discussed the Greek plan for a two-year loan deal in an emergency phone conference Tuesday, just hours before the country's massive bailout program expired at midnight. But several officials said no agreement was reached, and the finance chiefs said they would hold a new teleconference this morning. From our New York bureau, Alexis Christophorus talked with VOA's Jim Stevenson about what financial tactics the Greeks are taking to deal with the financial crisis.
Greece is asking for a last-minute extension of its international bailout, and it's also proposing a new two-year funding program. But German Chancellor Angela Merkel is calling it too little too late. She says Germany will not negotiate on a new bailout agreement before Greece's referendum, which is planned for Sunday. Merkel says it's too late to vet this new proposal, and she's blaming the Greek government for allowing its bailout program to expire. Now, without any new rescue funds, Greece will default on its $1.8 billion payment due to the International Monetary Fund. Since 2010, Greece has received nearly 240 billion euros in two bailouts from the European Union and the IMF. But leaders are not holding out any great hope here, since this latest plan does not offer any of the concessions that creditors have been demanding for months now.
I'm sure this is having a ripple effect throughout the European markets at this point.
Oh, it certainly is. In fact, markets around the world just closed the books on the second quarter, and we did see U.S. stocks bounce back from their biggest one-day sell-off of the year, in which they had erased all of their gains for the year. And we also saw the biggest drop in European stocks in quite some time. So it definitely was a rough quarter for world markets. However, the euro did post a nice gain against the dollar for the quarter.
Greece is a relatively small economy, and it does have implications, though, should this crisis continue and perhaps one of these new deals is not accepted.
Right. Now, Sunday's referendum actually took European officials by surprise, and many have said that if Greece votes no on Sunday to new austerity measures, it would push the country out of a single euro currency and potentially wipe out wages and pensions for the Greek people. And the likelihood of Greece leaving the eurozone is probably the greatest it's been in the 5 years since Greece has been embroiled in this economic distress. And while Greece's economy, as we say, is relatively small, leaving the eurozone would be seen as a black eye for the single currency experiment, if you would. Spain's prime minister says that it would be a negative message that euro membership is reversible, and it would fan fears of a Greek contagion. People may think if one country can leave the euro, others can too, namely Italy, Spain, or Portugal, which we know have all had financial troubles of their own.
Business correspondent Alexis Christophorus in New York, speaking with VOA's Jim Stevenson. Our new social media correspondent, G. Abby Lee, is here now with an update on what people are saying about the Greek debt crisis on the internet. G, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Ray. And not surprisingly, one of the top 10 hashtags trending on Twitter today is hashtag Greece. We have a story up on our website at www.voanews.com, and you can find it on the front page. Here are some of the comments left in the story titled Greek Bailout Crisis Unresolved, Talks Continue. James Dyer from California wrote, "Unless the euro is reconfigured so that the financial burdens within the eurozone are shared by all members, it is doomed. As it is now, only the benefits of the system are shared." He also argued, Germany is running the affairs of all of Europe. Others still are saying it's time for Greece to pay up. Ricardo from Brazil wrote, "The mix of rich and poor in the world has always been complicated. This rule applies to individuals, businesses, and countries. For a short period, Greece benefited from the borrowed money. It spent badly, and now it's time to pay the bill."
I see. So varying opinions on who is to blame. I also hear, G, that the crisis sparked a couple of new phrases on Twitter, and tell us about some of those.
Absolutely. Twitter users have been quite creative with their hashtags regarding Greece. One of them is hashtag Grexit, a combination of the words Greece and exit. The exit refers to the country potentially leaving the 19-member Eurozone. The Topsy Analytics website shows that hashtag Grexit has been used almost 30,000 times in the last 24 hours. Another popular hashtag, Ray, is hashtag Greferendum merging Greece and, you guessed it, referendum. Hashtag Greferendum has also been used more than 30,000 times today. The referendum is scheduled for Sunday, and it's asking Greek voters to either approve or reject the economic bailout terms set by the European Union.
Thanks, G. We welcome your comments on Twitter. We're at VOA_IE, and our website is voanews.com.
What is it like to study in the United States, and what do you have to do to get here? The Student Union is VOA's blog that follows students from all over the world as they face challenges and opportunities of studying at American universities. Log on at blogs.voanews.com/student-union.
My name's Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your request and dedication program here at the Voice of America. 1500 Universal, Monday through Friday, we're there for an hour playing your favorite music. You can send an email in and request your favorite songs by your favorite artists. You can also phone in as well. We have great contests and surprise guests from time to time. Border Crossings, every single day during the week at 1500 Universal, here on the Voice of America.
President Obama says the United States would walk away from a possible nuclear deal with Iran if he is not convinced it would block Tehran's path to building a nuclear weapon. At a White House news conference Tuesday, Mr. Obama said that Tehran must live up to a framework agreement it reached earlier this year with the U.S. and five other world powers to allow inspectors to visit Iranian nuclear sites to verify that it is keeping its commitments. His comments came as the U.S., Germany, France, Russia, China, and Britain extended negotiations with Iran and Vienna past their self-imposed Tuesday deadline for completing a deal. VOA's State Department correspondent Pam Dawkins is at the site of the talks in Vienna, Austria, and talked with International Edition's Susan Yaki.
Iran nuclear negotiators have decided to extend measures under an interim agreement until July 7th. And this is to allow them more time to reach a long-term solution. Senior Advisor for Strategic Communications Marie Harf announced the plan. She said it will give Iran and the five permanent members of the UN Security Council in Germany, the so-called P5+1, more time to continue work on the final agreement, which will be called a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. But in spite of the continued talks, there is still activity here in Vienna. A delegation led by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry met with a Russian delegation led by Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. And also Kerry met with Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif. He returned to Vienna to flying home for consultation.
There's been a lot of criticism of these talks because we haven't seen that much going on. Is there a feeling there that this is a bit of a breakthrough somehow?
Negotiators have been tight-lipped about the scope of the negotiations. There is concern that two of the main sticking points have been the phasing of sanctions relief and also the amount of access that nuclear inspectors would be allowed to Iranian sites. Both sides have indicated that the fact that they are willing to continue talking is a sign that they are hopeful that there could possibly be an agreement down the road.
State Department correspondent Pam Dawkins in Vienna speaking with VOA's Susan Yockey. You're listening to VOA's International Edition. It's been almost 2 weeks after Hong Kong lawmakers vetoed an election reform plan drawn up by the territory's government with Beijing's blessing. And the political dispute is not going away. The two sides in that dispute, the pro-democracy camp and the pro-Beijing camp, are expected to demonstrate today to make their views known about what should happen next in Hong Kong's political development. Today, July 1st, is Handover Day in Hong Kong, a public holiday marking the 18th anniversary of the handover of Hong Kong from Britain to China in 1997. It's the day when the city's pro-democracy camp typically holds its biggest protest march of the year, while the Beijing loyalists also gather in large numbers for events celebrating reunification with the Chinese motherland. Earlier, our weekly television program, #VOA, spoke via Skype to two prominent activists on both sides of the political divide in Hong Kong. They include pro-democracy commentator Chip Sao and Lawrence Ma, a spokesman for the pro-Beijing group that calls itself the Silent Majority for Hong Kong. In this clip from the show, Sao and Ma tell host Cal Perry whether Hong Kong's leader will face any further pressure to propose democratic reforms. Sao is first.
It will be virtually impossible for the current chief executive, Tsai Ing-wen, to carry out his ruling duties because he's extremely unpopular. His popularity rate has dropped down to less than, to below 30. He's being resented even by the pro-Beijing camps in Hong Kong because they think Tsai Ing-wen is their liability rather than their asset. And now things are simply falling apart. And Tsai Ing-wen could still strongly argue and pretend that nothing has happened and business is going to be usual. However, with this electoral reform package, so-called reform package being voted out, it also signs virtually the death warrant of the effectability and the legitimacy of the current government and the chief executive. So everyone is now locked in this impasse, right? I think we're going to see a few months so-called intermission so that the Democrats would just take a rest. And then don't forget the pro-Beijing political camp now is also being shattered because they performed a farce on the voting day by staging a strange and mysterious en masse walkout. And so that what you get on the history book is that the reform package was only supported by 8 votes, right, out of 70. So that was a bit of a joke. And I was told that Beijing gets very, very angry about it. Angry not with the Pan Democrats because their stand has long been expected. Angry with the pro-Beijing political camp and also with Tsai Ing-wen.
All right, now, I want to give Lawrence Ma a chance to jump in from Hong Kong. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you.
This is not going to happen.
I don't think the political reform package will be reiterated in the coming 2 years because the government has correctly so focused the government's effort on livelihood as well as by building flats and having technology innovations for Hong Kong, which is a method of or a way to have a sustainable growth. There will not be another political reform package introduced in this term because of the basic has not changed. The basic is the National People's Congress decision in August, the 31st. That will not be changed. That will not be changed for another 5 to 10 years. So there's no point to talk about political reform at all in this term of government or the next term of government. The government is correct in focusing its effort in people's livelihood issues.
Hong Kong activists Lawrence Ma and Chip Sao speaking to #VOA host Cal Perry. Another candidate is off and running for the 2016 U.S. Republican presidential nomination. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie made it official Tuesday, becoming the 14th Republican candidate. VOA's Jim Malone reports on the announcement and what promises to be a long and hard-fought campaign for the party nomination next year.
I am proud to announce my candidacy for the Republican nomination for President of the United States of America.
Chris Christie returned to his high school in Livingston, New Jersey, before family and friends to make his announcement.
When I stand up on a stage like this in front of all of you, there is one thing you will know for sure. I mean what I say, and I say what I mean, and that's what America needs right now.
Christie advocates budget cuts, some willingness to compromise with Democrats, and a more aggressive approach to U.S. challenges abroad.
There is only one indispensable force for good in the world, and it is a strong, unequivocal America that will lead the world and not be afraid to tell our friends we'll be with you no matter what, and to tell our adversaries there are limits to your conduct, and America will enforce the limits to that conduct.
Christie is well known for his combative personality.
So listen, you want to have the conversation later? I'm happy to have it, buddy. But until that time, sit down and shut up.
Christie has grown unpopular in his home state, and he'll be hard-pressed to make an immediate impact in a crowded Republican field that includes former Florida Governor Jeb Bush.
I think we need to elect someone who's actually done it, that knows how to lead, that knows how to bring people together, that knows how to have an agenda and act on it.
Christie must also compete for attention with the likes of businessman Donald Trump. Trump's relationship with NBC television was severed after he was widely condemned for recent comments slamming Mexican immigrants.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Polls show Christie is well back in the Republican field, but the race is still in the early stages, says analyst Carlin Bowman.
We have a bunch of them clustered at the top, perhaps with Jeb Bush leading, but then several governors and a senator in that second tier overall, but still a field that is yet to gel, yet to take shape, and so I think we have to see a lot more of these candidates.
Two more Republican contenders are expected to announce in the weeks ahead: Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and Ohio Governor John Kasich. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
Pope Francis will visit the United States in September with stops in Washington, New York, and Philadelphia. The Pope's itinerary includes a welcoming ceremony September 23rd at the White House, followed by a private meeting with President Obama. The Vatican also confirms the Pope will address a joint meeting of the U.S. Congress the following day. He would become the first pope to speak to the U.S. Congress.
Health news and notes. This is Living Better.
Rheumatoid arthritis, or RA, is an autoimmune disorder that affects the lining of the joints, causing painful swelling.
Opening simple things like jars or a bottle of milk in the morning can, you know, bring you to tears.
Erin Stafford is not yet 30, but says some days she feels like she's 80. But there may be help on the horizon for millions of people like her. Ranjini Thomas, lead researcher at the University of Queensland, is working on a new vaccine-style treatment for RA using a patient's own cells, modified and re-injected into the patient to quiet the immune response.
It's rather re-educating the immune system so that instead of responding to that enemy, to actually stop responding so that things will quieten down.
In a phase one clinical trial, the vaccine was found to be safe and effective. The researchers say their approach is experimental, but if successful, might also be applied to other autoimmune diseases. I'm Martin Seacrest for VOA's Living Better.
Parkour, also known as free running, is finding some followers in a rather unusual place. The French-born pastime is catching on in the northern Iraqi city of Kirkuk, which is under threat by the Islamic State. Despite the constant tension and presence of military checkpoints throughout Kirkuk, a thriving parkour scene is emerging that even includes youngsters displaced by the extremists. John Owens has details.
They wait their turn, keen to learn the free-running techniques of the urban sport that has captured imaginations in other parts of the world. Here in Kirkuk, the rapid growth of parkour is providing an exhilarating outlet for young people in a city whose streets hold many dangers. Having resisted the advances of the Islamic State last year, Kirkuk has been hit with a series of bombings by the militants, but that has not stopped the spread of the street sport. Restricted by security services from leaping around their local park, Huna Shahzad Amin and a friend have set up classes at a local youth center.
It's not a sport about war or fighting. It's different in it that you play it for yourself, and there are no obstacles to stop you playing. Your body becomes fitter, and you can do this sport everywhere.
The free classes have grown and now attract up to 60 youths, including youngsters from refugee families. Here, young acrobats of all abilities mix, learning the sport in a safe environment before putting their skills to the test in the city's ancient citadel. Among recent converts to parkour is 14-year-old Mohamed Ahmed.
Before, I was doing exercises and some bodybuilding exercises. And then I came to this hall. I thought the sport was joyful, the teachers were good, and the equipment was good.
The manager of the government-run youth center, which is protected by armed guards, says parkour is now more popular than sports like taekwondo. Dear Abdul Khalik Nazradin adds that parkour provides benefits far beyond improved fitness.
It keeps them from the bad things that are happening outside. For example, it prevents them from handling guns.
And with parkour devotees overcoming the obstacles posed by a volatile security situation, many hope the sport can also catch on elsewhere in Iraq. Whether this happens remains to be seen. But in Kirkuk at least, as a message outside the center makes perfectly clear, parkour is here to stay. John Owens for VOA News, Kirkuk.
Put together a pop star and a multiple Grammy winner, and you get something new. Meghan Trainor teamed up with John Legend for her latest song called Like I'm Gonna Lose You. Stopping by is VOA's David Byrd and Larry London to chat about it.
You might be familiar with her mega hit, It's All About That Bass, or maybe her latest tune, Dear Future Husband. But Meghan Trainor has got a new song coming out. Larry London stops by to talk about it. Larry, what is Meghan's new song coming out?
The new song is called Like I'm Gonna Lose You. It's a beautiful ballad, which is a definite change for Meghan Trainor from the bubblegum pop sound that we've come to know and love over the last year or so. But she and John Legend have recorded this song together. She wrote the song. She never really imagined that John Legend would actually agree to sing it. She said when he arrived in the studios the day they recorded it, she actually burst into tears. She said it was so intense to actually record this song with him. She debuted the song at the Billboard Music Awards show. They sang it together live on the air in May.
I found myself dreaming in silver and gold, like a scene from a movie that every broken heart. Walking on moonlight, and you pulled me close.
Wow. Now, speaking of Billboard Music Awards, she's got a shelf full of those as well.
A shelf, a virtual collection of two that she won out of 9 nominations. And, of course, John Legend himself has won many, many awards, 9 Grammys. So this is quite a powerhouse combination of artists.
And John Legend also teamed up with Kelly Clarkson on her latest CD for a tune. So is he, like, kind of making the duet circuit now?
He's doing the duets, And he's also working with a variety of artists that you wouldn't normally associate him with. Of course, he won an Oscar with Common for, you know, the song Glory from Selma. So that's tremendous. And you know, he just is kind of branching off a little bit in his own direction and working with some people that have given him a chance to get exposure in a kind of music that he typically isn't known to do.
Now, you and I were chatting a little bit before. Meghan Trainor is also kind of a spokesperson for people like me who struggle with their weight
and
a little
me.
Bit. because she's not, you know, your twiggy kind of pop star.
Right.
She is a little bit heavier. But she's made a point of encouraging particularly young women who struggle a lot with body image anyway, in her audience, the pop audience, to accept themselves.
Exactly. And she's working on a number of different things that are about self-awareness and positive image. One of them, she's created her own line of cosmetics called Full Beauty Brands. And she wants people to understand that this is something that's designed for women of all sizes and shapes. She herself never saw herself as a pop star. She openly admits she started off as a writer. She wrote songs for Rascal Flatts and Hunter Hayes. It was L.A. Reid who said, no, we've got to release this with you singing it. You know, when she was came to him with All About That Bass. And so that's how the story started. She didn't see herself singing that song.
Wow. And the world, as they say, changed. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Larry. You know, you can always hit up Larry on Twitter, VOA underscore music. Here at International Edition, it's VOA underscore IE. Listen for Larry's show, Border Crossings. You can also find it on our website. That's www.voanews.com.
That's it for this edition of International Edition. You can get more news and information in words, pictures, and video on our website at voanews.com. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ray Kugel in Washington. Enjoy the day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Every year, the U.S. State Department prepares detailed reports assessing respect for human rights around the world. The reports, required by law, evaluate how the governments of every country and a number of territories demonstrate respect for human dignity and individual freedoms. Lawmakers, as well as authorities in the executive branch, use the reports to help shape our nation's foreign policies. They also signal to the human rights defenders and activists under siege that our government recognizes their struggle and stands with civil society in its efforts to preserve human rights. For far too many people, 2014 was defined by suffering and abuse perpetrated by terrorist groups exploiting religious discourse and divisions to advance their totalitarian ideology, and by governments like Syria acting repressively in the name of combating terrorism. Meanwhile, governments in China, Egypt, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Iran, Russia, and Saudi Arabia, among others, continue to stifle free and open media and the development of civil society through the imprisonment of journalists, bloggers, and nonviolent critics. As in previous years, human rights conditions in Zimbabwe are a particular concern. The most important human rights problems remain the government's targeting for torture, abuse, arrest, and harassment of members of non-ZANU-PF parties and civil society activists. There also continues to be a partisan application of the rule of law by security forces and the judiciary, as well as restrictions on civil liberties. The government took limited steps to punish security sector officials and ZANU-PF supporters who committed violations, but impunity continued to be a problem. The United States has seen its own share of racial discord and unrest in the last year. We approach this report with great self-awareness, but we also understand that when human rights is the issue, every country, including our own, has room to improve. We are committed to the work of advancing universal rights, building the partnerships that will move us forward, helping every man, woman, and child live up to their potential. In cases of nations such as Zimbabwe, we are also committed to speaking out for those unable to do so for themselves.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. We'll be right back.
is for, what's